Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke and chapter 18, which can be found on page 78 in the New Testament part of the Bible, towards the back, page 78. And let's stand. Starting at verse 15. People were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." This is the word of the Lord. Do take a seat. The context of this is Jesus and his disciples and other followers on the way to Jerusalem. You can see that at the beginning of chapter 17. And as they're traveling, they're having these conversations and questions and situations arising. And Jesus, in his way, his wonderful way, uses them to build up a picture, brushstroke by brushstroke, of what the inhabitants of the kingdom of God look like. It's like we get different perspectives or different panels of the door to eternal life placed before us. And he paints this picture using parables and these punchlines that we're looking at during this series, which just profoundly and wonderfully unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For those who are willing to search, for those who are willing to think and to meditate and to accept what Jesus says. To those hearts who were opposed to Jesus, these parables and these sayings are like red rag to a bull. But to those who saw something amazing, but maybe sometimes confusing, but compelling in Jesus, they are words of life and breath. So as we approach this morning's punchline, let's just pray together. Father, as we meditate on your word this morning, and specifically these words that Jesus spoke of the characteristics of those who are able to receive the kingdom of God, may that word, through the work of the Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts. Rebuke us. Kindle repentance in us. Bring encouragement to us. And bring glory to the one who spoke these words, Jesus Christ. Amen. So these parents bringing babies and little children running between their legs, and they want to go to see Jesus. And the disciples say, "No, don't bother the teacher. They're just babes and infants." But Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." And then he expands down in verse 17. "I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Now, if you want to know the way into the kingdom of God, these are words to listen to and to meditate upon. The one who follows Jesus and receives the gift of life that he offers through his wonderful sacrifice on the cross that we remember this morning in the bread and wine, the one who seeks to follow has to do so and continue to do so day by day in the way that a little child would. Now, we have to meditate on these things because Jesus doesn't specifically say exactly what he means. There are many traits, I'm sure you realize, in a child that Jesus probably doesn't mean. And as a father of a one-year-old and a three-year-old, I'm well aware of that. But Jesus was thinking, there is something about these children that you need to learn from. And one of the tragedies I find in modern society in some areas is the segregation of age groups. And I certainly learned this when I was at university. In my first year, I attended a large church with mainly just saw students all year, for a whole year. And the second year, I went to a slightly smaller church, and it had a more family atmosphere. And I suddenly realized what I had been missing. It was just great, after all week submerged in student culture, to see little children running around. Children, especially little children, and I think that's what Jesus is talking about here in the passage, they're so refreshing to have around us. They bring us down to earth, don't they? They do what is not expected. They speak at the wrong times about things that really usually aren't supposed to be spoken about in public. And they show you exactly how they feel with passion and ardor. Many of their characteristics are ones which we attempt to train out of them, to prepare them for life in wider society and for dealing with other people. But for Jesus, there was something about these children which symbolized what we need to be like if we are to be citizens of the kingdom of God. If you want to be on God's team, there's something about the characteristics of a little child that we must adopt. So what are those ways? As I said, we don't have the answers directly. But remember, this is part of a conversation, a part of a series of happenings on the way to Jerusalem that would end up with the triumphant entry. And I'm going to just suggest a few things that may have been in Jesus' mind when he said that we are to be like children. And the first is humility. Do you notice Luke brings to our attention that it's babies and little children that are born? And I would put to you that babies and young children accept and live out their position in the family and society. You see, a baby is totally helpless. It's been a sobering experience for me to have held two freshly born babies and to know that between myself and Carmen, we have to do everything in order for this baby to grow. They can't clean themselves. They can't eat by themselves. They can't dress to keep warm. They can't protect themselves. They are helpless. And even as a little child, they have that same assumed humility. You see, Caleb knows that he's not as strong as me. We wrestle and we fight, and he loves it. But he knows he's not as strong as me. And so he says things like, "Daddy, when I'm as strong as you, I will do this or that." And he's been loving watching the Olympics and the number of sports that he wants to master in the next few years. It's going to be expensive. But he knows he's not there yet. He knows he's small. He's getting to that age where he begins to fight it. And it doesn't take long, does it? But as a little child, they know their place. When they walk into a room and there's a big table set up for dinner and there's a small table, they automatically go to the small table, to the small chairs, because they know they're small. That is their place in the family. And he accepts his discipline as though he was a little child, because he knows he's a little child. He goes to sit on the stair when he does something wrong. And we were fooling around as a family not long ago when Carmen threw a tea towel at me. And so I sternly rebuked her and sent her to the stairs. And Caleb was in fits of laughter. He loved it, and he loved laughing at Mummy, and he loved teasing her. And actually, the rule is that you stay on the stairs for the number of years that you've been alive, in minutes. So Caleb will stay on the stairs for 3 minutes plus 1 minute. So Carmen's saying, can I stay on the stairs for that long? Bit of peace and quiet. But the reason that Caleb found it so funny is that that's not right for Carmen. But it's right for him. Because he knows his place in the family. So he goes and receives his discipline, even though he doesn't enjoy it. You see, a man or woman who receives and lives in the kingdom says, you are God in heaven, and I'm on earth, so I'm not going to say very much. You see, Satan will come to us, as he did right at the beginning in the garden, and say, you can be like God. And we look around at the teaching in this world and in society, and sometimes we look at our own hearts and we realize, yeah, sometimes the way I live is like I'm trying to be God, like I'm trying to call the shots, like I think I know what's best, like I can decide what is right and what is wrong in this world. And yet the humble child says, you are God in heaven. I am on earth, so I will let my words be few. Remember Peter, when he first encountered Jesus, or certainly at the beginning of his encounters of Jesus, on the Sea of Galilee, and the miraculous catch of fish. What is the first thing he do? He comes and kneels at the feet of Jesus and says, be merciful to me, a sinner. Go away from me. I'm not worthy. Do we need to humble ourselves before God this morning once again, or for the first time? The one who gives breath to our lungs. The one who gives us our bodies and this world in which we move. And for the first time or for the thousandth time, say, God, you are in heaven. I am on earth. I am a sinful one. I will listen to you. Second thing I'd like to just bring to our attention, and it may be in Jesus' mind, is that children are good at receiving things. They are receptive and trusting. Now, Caleb can just remember only his last birthday and Christmas. But that's all it's taken to get the idea. Children are very good at receiving gifts, aren't they? I love receiving gifts as an adult, but it's just not with that undiluted, my body shaking with anticipation, can I open it right now or I think I'm going to wee in my pants kind of excitement that a little child has. I'm thinking, right, is what I got for them, is that the same equivalent value? What does this gift tell me about my relationship with this person now? So many different things. Did I get this for them last year? That go through my mind sometimes when I receive a gift. But none of that goes through the mind of a child, a little child who has no money, not even pocket money yet, to even contemplate getting anything even vaguely comparable in return. It's just, bring it on, presents, great. And the only thing that a parent needs is the look of wonder and amazement on their face. I can still remember Caleb at his third birthday, holding aloft for a photo his Thunderbird 2. Just, this is great, this is amazing, and posing for a photograph. I wonder whether we've got a lot to learn about praising and thanking our Father in heaven from little children. But look at the context again. There's a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus just after this story and says, what do I do to receive this gift? He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus reels off some commandments to him.
And he says, yeah, I've done that one, I've done that one, I've done that one. And then Jesus says, oh, one more thing then. Can you give it away everything that you have? And then follow me. And then you will have treasure in heaven. And the young man goes away very sad because he had great wealth. See, babies and little children, they don't have anything in their hands. So they're ready to receive. And yet for this man that comes to Jesus, he has great wealth. And so Jesus says, get rid of that which hinders you from receiving fully the gift that I have come to give. Get rid of it. Become like a child before me, helpless and empty-handed. Don't be like someone surveying your wealth and your dominion, weighing up the balance. Can I really give up this temporary pleasure, this temporary comfort, to receive what I cannot lose for all eternity? And actually puts this temporary comfort or pleasure in absolute shadow. Can I do that? I'll think about that for a while. And the young man seemingly couldn't do that. But the child of the kingdom doesn't spare a thought, but drops whatever they are holding to receive with open arms the kingdom of God. And I just want to draw your attention to another man who is very rich on this journey to Jerusalem. Very briefly, a man called Zacchaeus. He was a man who was very rich through being a chief tax collector. And because of that, because of the collusion that he had with the Romans, he was despised. He was considered a sinner, to be rejected. He had no friends. He obviously thought that money was the secret of happiness, else he wouldn't have taken on such a despised role within Jewish society. And yet Jesus described accurately this man as one who was lost. And you see, the thing is, Zacchaeus knew it. So he sought out Jesus. He couldn't see him. So he climbed a tree so that he could see him. Think how ridiculous that is for a rich man to scrabble up a tree like a child. But Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus and was so happy that Jesus said, actually, I've come to seek people like you. And he gave it all away. Not because he was asked to, as Jesus asked the young man, but because he had something now in Jesus that just meant he had to show how grateful he was. And so he gave away pretty much all of his riches. Half to the poor, and then to those who he had taken from unlawfully, he repaid them four times as much in return. That pretty much leaves him with not very much. But he had Jesus, the gift of eternal life. And Jesus says, today salvation has come into this house. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Like a child, he dropped everything to receive the gift of eternal life and membership of the kingdom of God. I wanted to talk to you about the sincerity of the child of the kingdom of God. But we don't have time for that. But do think through, especially in context of this passage, what are the different things that we can learn and that God wants you to learn and my heart to learn about being a child of the kingdom. Well, in conclusion, I just want to notice the things that Jesus says in this passage. Two things. In verse 17, first, he says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. So to receive the kingdom, we must do so as a little child. And in 16, for it is to such as these, babes and infants, that the kingdom of God belongs. You see, there is an element of receiving the kingdom and continuing to receive the kingdom. You receive the kingdom like a little child, and the kingdom belongs to you throughout your life as you hold on to it as a little child would. See, Paul makes it very clear in his letter to the Colossians. See, we are to mature in our faith. We're to grow in love and obedience. We are to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the ways of God. But we are to do so in the same way that we received Christ. In Colossians, he says this: just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Just as you received Jesus as a little child, in humility, with open arms, continue as you grow in humility and with open, receptive, and trusting arms. And communion this morning is a great opportunity to do that, isn't it? To come and kneel before our Maker and consider what it took for Christ to secure that gift of the kingdom of God for us. And we come with open arms and open hands, and we say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And so we lift our voice in praise, exuberant praise of a little child. We reach out to each other, we reach out to those outside, because we are so thankful. In the way a little child is, even though sometimes they forget to say thank you, they live out their thanks through enjoying the gift that has been given to them. And we do so as well, living out in thanksgiving for the fact that Jesus has reached out and taken hold of us and given to us the gift of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Through your Holy Spirit, apply it now. And in the coming days, to each of our hearts, that we might be children of the kingdom of God. Amen.